This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, getting into our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for a lot of years with WCNO, Raising the Standard. So we welcome you. We hope you can stay tuned for the whole hour. And I know right now, Donna, there's probably somebody listening that's never heard us before. So we want you to be the brilliant, the things we talk about. You search the scriptures to see if they be so according to what you see. And we trust the Holy Ghost to lead us all in the right direction. Amen. We're honored to be here.
And you know, some people are knowing we come on about this time, so we already have a couple of people live on us with us. So I say hello to Sharon, and I can't see the other person's name. Oh, Barbara Briggs. Hi, Barbara. I thought you were in town. I haven't seen you or heard from you, but be blessed. Well, we're blessed to be here on WCNO every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon until 1 p.m. We want to say happy Purim to you all.
Amen.
And Purim started a couple days ago, but we're still talking about it and still celebrating it, and we will be celebrating it today. Today we'll be having a Purim party, festival, dinner, feast, whatever you want to call it. So I say happy Purim to everyone. We talk about the story of Esther is what we're going to be talking about. You know, she was a very brave young woman, and she was young too. She wasn't that old, because she was stolen away from her parents, Mordecai and his wife. But I just want to thank the people that are listening to us, and those that have listened to us and have heard the need that is for this program as well. You know, they have been, we got another offering, $25 this past week. And you know, I just, it takes, you know, just different people sending different amounts. Some send
$25
or $5 or $50 or $100, whatever. It goes for this radio broadcast, every penny of it. And this broadcast is $165 every week for 1 hour. So we just thank the Lord for that. I know many people are blessed, and many people are listening and to us on WCNO every Saturday at 12 noon. So we want to thank you for that. And we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island. We want to thank our dear friends in Tennessee that sent $1,000 for the Temple of God that we're building over on the Andros Island. And so it's for the roof. Amen. Well, anyway, so we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey, and we just thank the Lord what He is doing. Thank you, Father. Just got a note from Sharon. She says, "I'm watching this great broadcast from beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida. Blessings to you, Pastor Gene and Donna, and everyone that is on the broadcast." Well, thank you so much, sister. Mm-hmm. So we're having it today at 2 o'clock. If you can come by, we're going to do a celebration and a teaching on the book of Esther. Pastor Gene will be teaching on that. We'll be having a dinner afterwards. So if you can come by, I'll give the phone number in a few minutes and celebrate that time with us, because it's an important time in history. It's not one of the feasts of the Lord, but it is an important time because it brought deliverance, and it all fits in with prophecy. If you listen to it to the end, you'll hear Pastor Gene go into the prophetic aspects of what's going to happen in the future and how deliverance always comes from the Lord, but he uses certain people at certain times in history.
Always
he,
does.
And he uses team ministry and many important things. I'm just going to mention this. It says here, Esther, she's an important person in history because of her devotion to God. God was able to use her as an instrument to save the Jews from extermination at that time. Again and again, this is another story that shows us that God has a plan for our lives, and he always is working for the good of his people. That includes us, Christians,
that's right. Absolutely.
Not just the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're amazed as to how God can turn a hopeless situation into great triumph. So, because, you know, Esther and Mordecai, they made a change in history. Because she did say, what? If I die, I die.
That's right.
Because she said, Mordecai told her, you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this, and so have we all. Amen? So this is a wonderful, important time. So if you'd like to come to our dinner, our Esther dinner, our Purim dinner, it's this afternoon, and we're at, phone number is area code 772-285-7007. And we're at the Alliance Church on 445 Osceola Street. Amen. So, Pastor Gene, let's get into the book of Esther. We already talked about, last 2 weeks we've talked about Esther. Now we're going to go into what, chapter 7?
I'm going to start in chapter 7. And the prophetic part at the end is the interesting thing that we see in this book. I've never heard this taught, so don't think I'm trying to raise myself up. And I'm not. But I've never heard this taught, what I'm going to show you, but it's all revolving around God's appointed times and the things that's happened with Israel during their history. Now, as Donna mentioned, Purim is not an appointed time, neither is Hanukkah, but they're all going to fit in on God's timetable at the very end, and we're coming to those days. So I'm going to start over here in chapter 7, and we're going to look at some things about Esther. We already covered a lot of this the last couple of weeks, but we want to show the summary of all this real quick here, before we get to the prophetic implications of all of it. But we know that we mentioned last week that Esther's request was to have two banquets, and I could never understand prior to what I've studied, when I've studied this, why she wanted two banquets. But if you look at this book real close, you'll find out that God wanted to get it on the right day on his prophetic calendar. He wanted it to be on Nisan 17 when Haman, was hung on the gallows instead of Mordecai. The same day in the future that our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, rose from the grave the same day, showing us the defeat of what Jesus did with the devil, and we see what Mordecai and Esther performed with the defeat of Haman in that day with this kingdom that had hampered them, I should say, all these years, 500 and some years, because of a command that God gave King Saul that was never fulfilled. And so it was finally fulfilled when we found out last week that Haman was hung on the gallows, and we mentioned he had 10 sons. It's another picture, prophetically, of the coalition of these 10 nations. It'll be there at the end when the conclusion of all this comes to pass. So I'm going to just go into 7, and we're going to see when Esther exposes Haman to the king, and let's see what happens, and we'll talk about it a little bit. And then I want to get to the prophetic. Margie, I'm going to let you read this, okay? Just start in verse 1 and start reading in chapter 7.
Praise the Lord. So the king and Haman came to banquet at Esther with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day.
Here we go. Remember the second day. Okay.
Amen. At the banquet of wine. What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue. Although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage, then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he, And where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine, in his wrath went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was.
Now, we're not talking about like a bed in a bedroom. This was like a couch, okay?
Amen.
In the king's quarters. Go ahead.
Yes. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified.
Go ahead.
Chapter 8. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai.
Hallelujah, huh?
Amen. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king.
Now this is the second time that she had to come in, and if you weren't invited, you could be killed.
Yes.
First time, remember, Ahasuerus held out that scepter, and she was accepted. This is the second time this happened again. Go on now.
Amen. And said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of
Hammedatha,
the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther, the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Then there were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month. That is the month of Sivan.
And on the prophetic calendar with the Jews, this is the month that we have called Pentecost.
Pentecost.
Go on.
Thank you, Father. On the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants, and the deputies, and the rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language.
Let's stop right there. Now, we've read all this, and so what happened? Esther got another decree from the king, and we know in the Persian Empire, once a decree was written, it could not be changed, right?
Yes.
And so the decree went out again. It must have taken months to get it to go through all those provinces and all. And so there was a date that came in the month of Adar, which is 11 months from the time they cast lots to start with, that the Jews now could defend themselves. And this is the part of the deliverance that's so important. You know, we know that Passover is a picture of deliverance. So is this time called Purim as well. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, Pastor Gene, when they were casting the lots, that was during the month of Nisan, which is the month of Passover.
Right.
And they happened to come to the day that they were going to destroy the Jews, or plan to, mm-hmm. which that day was on the 13th of Nisan, which is it's during the time of Passover.
That's right.
It's interesting, you know, they didn't know about, well, maybe they knew something about Passover. They knew that that was a celebration the Jewish people did from way back in the Exodus, you know.
Yep.
But I'm sure that the Jewish people in Persia celebrated Passover to the best of their ability, even though they were not in Israel.
That's right. They always did whenever they could.
But isn't
same thing
it interesting
at Hanukkah, yeah.
that it happened to be that day, which would be the same night years ahead that Jesus would be having his last meal
right.
with his disciples
mm-hmm.
and telling them, you know, the things that were going to happen. And then he went out into the garden, you know, and he wept. And this was at the very same time during that month of Passover.
That's right. So we have some beautiful pictures here, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's look at some things now a little bit about the future. We know that this month of Adar, when the Jews were able to defend themselves also, and the Persians are going to try to kill them, it's 30 days prior to what? To Passover. Right? Now I'm going to try to show a chart here in a moment that I have in my book. If you don't have this book, it's available to all of you for $25 and some maybe $5 for shipping. It's called God's Prophetic Calendar, and it's the pictures of the Messiah as revealed in the festivals of the Lord. I'm going to hold it up and you can see it if you'd like to have it. This is a lot of years of study and some prophetic things I've never heard anyplace else. I might be wrong, but God's doing things with new people today, and people that you may have never heard of. It's going to come up with some things that's going to reveal the truth from God's holy word. Some of it's revealed in this book. So it's available to you today if you'd like to have it.
You know, Pastor Gene, I'm going to, Karen Davis is on watching right now. I'm going to see if I can bring her on from Israel.
Okay.
And we can say hello.
I went to their church when I was there at Mount Carmel.
Well, perhaps I can't get her on, but maybe another time. Okay.
But anyway, this thing we're talking about, there's some things that's revealed, but God used Esther's, the plot that happened with Haman and the victory that the Jews had, gives us something very prophetic to show us in the future. Now, I have to take you to Daniel 12, and this was a couple of scriptures that always used to trouble me until I got into the Jewish roots and really began to ask God what was going on for us to know the truth here, and this is what helped me. So we have to remember, Adar is 30 days prior to Passover. And while you're turning there, I'm going to turn I got this chart in the book. If you buy this book, it's chart 6. And it shows the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. Now, just quickly, if you can see this, I'm going to try to hold this up so you can get a picture up to start with. Then I'm going to just share the part. What we're going to look at is the part over to the left at the very beginning.
That's you need to put it down this
yeah.
way a little bit.
Wish we had another way to show this, but we don't.
Okay.
All right.
It's hard to see.
Yeah, okay. So I'll just try to explain it to you. So remember now that Purim is 30 days prior to what? To Passover.
Yes.
And when's Purim? It's celebrated on the 14th and 15th of the month of Adar, okay? Now, I'm going to share this up front, and then I'm going to show you in the scriptures. My chart shows that, I better read this first. Let's look at Daniel chapter 12 I took you to, and I want to look at verse 11 all by itself to start with. And from the time, now remember, chapter 12 of Daniel was written, and it's referring to Jacob's last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble, okay? And so verse 11 says, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, if you're a Bible studier, you should know there's 1,260 days broken up twice in Jacob's trouble. 1,260 the first half, 1,260 the second half. So now we have an extra 30 days that we have to deal with here. Now, another interesting thing in this verse, it says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and is a conjunction that joins two events together and possibly at different times, and I believe this is showing at two different times, and the abomination that make desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So we're dealing with finding out what are these other 30 days all about. Now, what I want to, I can't show you the chart, but I'm going to try to explain it to you. So if we come out mid-tribulation, we come out to Passover, and we can see that over in Revelation chapter 11 and all. We back up 30 days. You know, remember, Passover goes from Nisan 10 to 14. So if we back up 30 days, we come to Purim, which is on the 14th and the 15th of Adar. So if we look at this, my chart shows this is when the abomination will be set up. Who's going to do that? The false Messiah will go in to God's temple and set a statue up of himself and declare himself to be God, just like Antiochus Epiphanes did during Hanukkah. So that's when the abomination will be set up, and this is called the image of the beast.
And that'll be a full moon.
That will be a full moon. Now we go 30 days to the future, and we come to Passover. Well, as I mentioned, it runs from Nisan 10 to the 14th. So what happens at mid-tribulation? Then we have the end, the conjunction. Not only will the abomination be set up, and then 30 days later, the sacrifices are going to be taken away. The false Messiah is going to stop everything that the Jews want to do in their ceremonies and all, and their festivals. Mm-hmm. And the false Messiah will desecrate the temple when? At Passover. And this will start the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. Now, I did this in the chart if you get the book. If you go from Purim here at the beginning, and we go out 1,290 days, it's going to bring you to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is on Tishri 15, exactly 390 days, which is God showing us. So I want to read something with you out of my commentary. Maybe that'll help me understand this a little bit. It won't take much time to do this, and I want to share it so it'll come out the way I want it to be brought out.
Clear.
Clear, because sometimes you forget things when you study it, and that's why I like to go back and read these things. Now, we're prophetically turned here to Daniel 12, which reveals, we mentioned, the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. Passover actually starts, as I said, on Nisan 10 and ends on what? Nisan 14. But really, it doesn't end until what? Nisan 21, after unleavened bread. But we're talking about the season of actual Passover. So I want you to look at chart 6. I couldn't do a very good job with that, but I tried. So we see from the beginning of Passover, which is on Nisan 10, at mid-tribulation, to the Day of Atonement, which is on Tishri 10, at the end of the Great Tribulation, is exactly 1,260 days, which is the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. This reveals the exact day that Yeshua will literally come back to the earth at the end of approximately 6,007 years of the Messiah's second advent, from the time of Adam, 6,007 years from the time of Adam. According to the Word of God, this Day of Atonement should be the time of the Messiah's second advent, literally coming to the earth to put his feet again on the Mount of Olives, as he talked about in Acts chapter 1. He comes to establish his kingdom. Now, here's some verses if you want to write them down. Matthew 24:31 reveals it. Joel 2:15-16 reveals it. Isaiah 27:12-13 reveal the same event. We now need to turn to Daniel 12:11. That's where I just took you. We've already read it. Mm-hmm. Here in this verse, God now speaks about 1,290 days. Since we know that the Great Tribulation period consists of 3.5 years, 42 months, consisting of 30 days each, which equals what? 1,260 days, biblical days. I had someone tell me one time, well, Pastor Gene, we're not on that anymore. We got a different calendar. No, the book of Revelation is current. And it's there, so we have it today. We've messed up our own calendar with the Gregorian calendar. You can't mix the Gregorian calendar with God's prophetic calendar. It does not mix. We have to stay with his word, okay? Now, the next thing. Now we mentioned this 30 days additional that God is revealing in this verse. In these last days, God is showing through previous events and dates, in Esther's time, in fact, wherein certain kingdoms attempt to destroy his people, the Jews. As we will see in this teaching in our next session, maybe. I hope we'll be done with this today. God is going to use these same dates again to reveal his prophetic plan for all of mankind. This is for the church as well, brothers and sisters. This is not just a Jewish event. This is for everybody. But if you're in the kingdom of God right now, when that shofar blows at trumpets one year, we're going to be caught off this earth. The resurrection from the dead will come, and those that are alive and remain in Christ will be caught off the earth, and then Jacob's trouble is going to start. But we can still glean from all this to help people to understand there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And the only way we're going to be able to have that is to have Yeshua HaMashiach in our life. He is our Messiah. He's the Savior that came to save all of mankind. So this is all being revealed right here for you and I. Now, here's a question for you and I that are listening right now. What do these additional 30 days represent? Knowing that God does not miss even by one day. I want you to make that thought in your mind. God never misses by one day. So if he gives you a number of days, you better look at it very close and don't listen to all the teachers that it's going to tell you and mix all numbers up and so on like they do. Just look at the word of God. He does not miss by one day. They came out of Egypt on what day? He died on the 14th of Nisan. And he rose on what? The 17th. When they came out of Egypt, what happened? The lamb was killed on the 14th, and they left on the 15th, and they were on their way to the out of the Red Sea, went on the 17th of Nisan. It just, what Jesus did parallels, and it's all prophetic to what he was going to accomplish in his day. Now, let's look at this. Now, there's a hidden truth here in Daniel 12:11. It states that, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, this is revealed in Daniel 9:27, if you want to write it down. We have the word and, which is a conjunction that maketh, and it says, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Notice the conjunction I mentioned a while ago is the little word and. It joins two events together, and most of the time at different times. This reveals that these two events will happen at two different times, separated by a period of 30 days. The second event that will happen is the daily sacrifices will be taken away, which was also revealed in Daniel 9:27, and the abomination that maketh desolation set up again. We got all these things being revealed. And when is Daniel 9:27? It's in the middle of the week, exactly at mid-tribulation at the Passover. Then the scripture says, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. Question again, when will this happen? Purim was established, what? 30 days prior to Passover season. And why? Because of what happened in Esther and Mordecai's day. And since this was another time in Israel's history, these 30 additional days will be used of God to unveil the abomination of desolation. 30 days prior to mid-tribulation, which is during Nisan 10 through 14, the false Messiah will go into the temple of God, which is revealed in Daniel 12:11. Then 30 days later, he will stop the sacrifices during the Passover season, as it's revealed also in Daniel 7:25. And I'm going to take you can turn there, Margie, if you would. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. God uses the events in Esther's day to reveal a future prophetic event and when it's going to happen. So when we summarize this, Purim, Adar 14 and 15, the abomination of desolation will be set up. Then 30 days later, at Passover, Nisan 10 through 14, the sacrifices will be stopped. Thus, the period of time from Adar 10 to mid-tribulation to the last day of atonement, Tishri 10 of the tribulation, is exactly 1,290 days. Wow, God is perfect in all that he does. So we have an interesting thing with all this, don't we? Amen. It shows us all this. And I believe this, if we look at Revelation, I'm going to turn over to Revelation chapter 11 with you for a moment. You know, they had an event that happened at Purim. They exchanged gifts. Did you know that at that time? Mm. And this gives us a clue in Revelation chapter 11 that this has to be at mid-tribulation. When they kill the two witnesses and they lay in the street for 3.5 days, it says they're going to be so happy, the false Messiah and his people, of what happened. And after 3.5 days and so on, if they saw them raised from the dead and all that. And then it says they exchange gifts and shall send gifts one to another to celebrate that particular time. That's how joyous it will be. But we know that they're going to lie in the street for 3.5 days. Now, I'm just going to give you my opinion I haven't can't give you a chapter and verse, but you know how prophetic God is, and He repeats things. I believe that those two witnesses will be killed on Nisan 14, the day of Passover, and they'll be resurrected on Nisan 17, 3.5 days later, just like it happened with Christ. Amen? Isn't that an interesting thought?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
3.5 days. Yeshua had 3.5 years of ministry, and then He died and rose from the grave for all mankind. And so I believe that's when it's all going to come to a conclusion. And so we see this. It gives us a clue of the time of the year. So we know that chapter 12 of Daniel tells us a lot of things that's so important to know. And so I hope you got something out of that. If you didn't, you can order the book, and you can read it in a great detail. And I have a complete chapter in this book about the time called Purim. And so it's important to know this. So I'm going to read verse 11 again out of chapter 12. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and, here's our conjunction, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now we mentioned in Daniel chapter 9, but I'm going to go somewhere else. I want to go to Daniel 11, verse 31. There's going to be two abominations of desolation. One's already been done. We're waiting for another one to come. And God's showing you the time of the year when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen. We need to have an open heart to understand the Jewish understanding, and we'll have a change in what we think, as a lot of people teach and tell you. In chapter 11, verse 31, it says, "The arm shall stand on his part." Who's this? The false Messiah. "And they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." So we see, here we go. It happened prior, and it's going to happen again.
That's right. Amen. It's interesting to hear you talk about they were having a party, actually.
They were having a party. They celebrated the two witnesses being killed, yeah.
Right, and giving gifts. Well, it's the same thing that happened there. You know, and the lots have already been cast. Like you're saying, what you're saying prophetically, the lots have been cast for what's going to happen in the future in the book of Revelation.
That's right.
And the days haven't been changed, and we can see that as it throughout the Bible, as it runs through the Bible like a thread. God keeps when He sets up appointed times, He sets them up, and like all both of those things are on full moons. Well,
right.
A lot of people say, well, how can you be a full moon? Well, we're not looking at the Gregorian calendar. We have to look at the Hebrew calendar, because always on the 14th and the 15th in that area, there's a full moon. So if you know the right month and you're on the Jewish calendar, even the Jewish people aren't on the exact perfect calendar that God has, then you'll know then. And they try to get it always at the full moon. That's how they tell when the calendar changes. They look at the new moon, and then always halfway through the month is the full moon.
Right.
So these things are all happening. That you're talking about on the 14th and 15th would be a full moon. But over here in Esther chapter 10, it says, verse 22, it says, "As the days wherein the Jews rested." See, when the enemy was destroyed, we find rest.
Yeah. Well,
that doesn't just mean taking a nap or going to bed for a sleep. You know, we have rest in the Lord.
Yes.
That's right.
Because what? Because we win.
We win
because Jesus paid the price for all of us who are born again. That's why it's important to be born again, because there's no other way to get into the kingdom of God. So it says here's the Jews rested from their enemies. Well, who is our enemy? The devil.
The devil is Hasatan.
That's right. And, you know, and Haman is a picture of Satan. Haman
yes.
is a picture of Satan. From their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy. They were supposed to all die at that time, but they didn't. And from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and ascending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. That's just exactly what you talked about, which
That's right.
will happen again in the future, because the enemy thinks he's going to win, but we know that God will win out every time. And the Jews understood to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews, just like the Satan has devised against us. Amen?
Absolutely.
To destroy the Jews, and they cast the pur or the lots and consumed and to destroy them. But if we go back over here into chapter 9, I was thinking about that rest, you know. Mm-hmm. It talks about how many people, I'm not going to read all this for time's sake, but it talks about how many people were killed during those 2 days.
A lot.
A lot of people were killed. The first day it was 300, and the second day it was 75,000
yeah.
people killed. And on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, rested they. Well, they could rest because the enemy had been destroyed, right?
That's right.
And they made it a day of feasting and gladness. That's verse 17. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th thereof, and on the 15th day, so we have the 15th day as well, of the same, and they rested and made a day of feasting and gladness. Well, we know that Haman was killed during that Esther's, when he invited.
On Nisan 17.
Nisan 17.
That's when he was hung on the gallows, yeah.
Right, which is the same day that Jesus came out of the grave,
that's right.
Rose from the grave. So that shows that he was destroyed.
Yes.
And Jesus, he destroyed the works of the enemy, didn't he?
That's right.
But we got to remember, too, who these people were, the Agites, because they should have been destroyed during Saul's time, the king, but he did not do what God had told him to do. Mm-hmm. So this Haman had 10 sons. Well, these 10 sons weren't killed on the 17th. They were still alive.
That's right.
They weren't killed until later on. And then they were all hung on a gallows as a picture of these, and you can go into the nations of what's going to happen, and with all anyone who comes against the Jewish people or comes against God's people, right, Pastor Gene?
That's right.
Because there were 10 sons there, and I don't know if you want to pick up on that at all about the future with these nations.
So there's going to be 10 nations, going to be a coalition against who? Against the Messiah and what? God's going to do, wanting to do with his people. They're going to try to stop it.
And we can look now in the news. There's coalitions going on
everywhere,
all
a lot
the
of places,
time,
yeah.
everywhere, and they're wanting to come against the Jewish people. We even have people right now in our government that are wanting to come against the Jewish people and to destroy them. They want to, you know, have two states there, and they're coming against what God's word says.
That's right.
So what's happening to our nation is that there's people coming in government that are wanting to do the same thing that Haman did, basically.
That's right.
Basically, and they want to have a coalition of nations. There's going to be a meeting at the United Nations very soon, and there's a whole group of people that are running for a president in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, full of anti-Semitism.
Are not going to be there.
That's right.
They refuse to be there.
That's right.
They're coming against Israel. Because who's going to speak? The Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, is going to speak. And so these things are all building up to what we see here in the book of Esther.
That's right.
And I believe that's all building up. And because they're coming against Israel, they're coming against the Jewish people. And so we can see that the enemy is at work right here, right under our nose in our own country.
That's right.
And in many of our own states. And it's really sad to
see. And I got a lot of people who are believing this lie is being perpetrated right now as well.
That's right. But because Mordecai was such a humble person, you know, he was raised up to a place of leadership. He was raised, and the people feared him. And you know, there were even people that joined in. I don't know where it's at. It talks about here somewhere, I think it's in chapter 9 or 8. But it talks about there were other people that joined in that weren't Jews, the lieutenants and different leaders. That they knew that Mordecai was, they knew that the Jewish people were going to win. And so they joined in and helped them.
That's right.
They didn't come against them. They had fear.
They wanted to be part of Israel.
So they wanted to be part of Israel.
That's right.
So that's our, and you need to blow the shofar before we get off the program.
We will.
We need to be part, we need to join in with what the word says, what God says, and we need to join in with with Israel. Not the two nations, not dividing it, but how God set it up in the very beginning. You know, it belongs to the Jewish people. And that's what God's word says. It's not, other people say it's what, anti-Semitism, is that what you said?
Yes, anti-Semitism. They're against the Jewish people. And also we have replacement theology. You know, a lot of the church is teaching today that the church has replaced Israel and the blessings that they had, we have, and God's done with Israel. But he's not done with them. He's got a great plan for them, and they'll be in the kingdom of God, the ones who will come to the Messiah.
Amen. So it says here in chapter 9, verse 2, I found it, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the province. So all the Jews, they became together, and they became one.
That's right.
They became united. They had to work together.
Amen. There's team ministry then again,
that's right?
That's right. We talked about last week.
Team ministry. They had to work together, throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, to lay hands on such as sought their hurt. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon the people. And all the rulers of the province, and the lieutenants, and the deputies, and officers of the king helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them.
That's right.
Amen. And it says, and Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went throughout all the province. Here's this man that was praying and in sackcloth and ashes in front of the king. I think about people maybe perhaps praying in front of the White House. People praying for our president.
Absolutely.
Praying that he's not going to bend. He's not going to back down. But he's going to follow through with
the promise he's made, yeah.
And the promises he's made. For this Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies that were with stroke of the sword, and slaughtered and destruction, and did what they would not unto those that hated them. So they destroyed them all. And it goes on and tells you how many they destroyed. And then in verse 10, it talks about the 10 sons of Haman, and they were the enemies of the Jews. They slew them, but they didn't touch the spoil. And it says that they hung them on the gallows as well. So we can see that, you know, God wants us. He wants to destroy all the works of the enemy.
Absolutely, in our lives,
and he's given us what power and authority, right? Because Yeshua. Rose from the grave on the 17th of Nisan, the same day that Haman was killed, hung on the gallows, and what? Yeshua, Jesus, overcame all the works
of the enemy.
Of the enemy.
There's a scripture in 1 John. It says that, I'm trying to remember how it's worded exactly, that he was manifested, Yeshua, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, we look at out here in the world right now, we see a lot of things that are still going on. So that little word destroy is important. If you look it up with the Greek and all, it means to loose or undo you. So he was manifested that he might loose and undo you and I that have been bound by Satan, and we can be victorious in this day and this hour. That's what that verse is all about. You know, I'm thinking about this, Pastor Donna. You know, the United Nations have a Security Council. There's only one nation that's not allowed on that, and they call them a state. Israel is not a state. They are a nation. Israel is the only one that's not on the Security Council. So we see the rejection, just like it was in Esther's day. It was going on. Things are going to turn around before the end. You watch. And, you know, they really got mad when they moved our embassy from Tel Aviv back to Jerusalem, where it should have never left.
Our president did that.
He did that. All the other presidents talked about it, but nobody ever did it. But now it's been done. And they don't like that. So anything that's been good that our president's done, well, they want to knock all that down and tell you that it's not for the truth. Mm-hmm. I want to make one correction I made earlier. If you go to Revelation chapter 11 with me, and we're getting ready to close here, I want Margie to read verses 11 and 12.
Revelation
11 and 12.
And while she's going there, I'll just mention, too, that there were 2 days that they were allowed to go out and kill all that came against them. And the first day was the day that they killed all of Haman's sons.
That's right.
So that would have even put greater fear in the rest of the people, because here's all of these Agagites, right, that have been killed and they're displayed hanging on gallows.
That's right.
That's a great picture to see, you know.
It should have been a term. What would you call it? A debt? I can't think of the word.
A deterrent.
From to do anything else against God's people. Amen. Go ahead, Margie, read that.
Amen. This is Revelation 11, verse 11.
And 12, yeah.
And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them.
These are the two witnesses that were killed. Go ahead.
And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither.
Just like in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, go on.
And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them.
Now, I mentioned a moment ago, I made a mistake, I want to clarify that. That's why I'm going back to this point. I said that I believe that Yeshua was going to die on Nissan 14, or not Yeshua, he did. I'm talking about the two witnesses. I've said they died on Nissan 14 and rose on the 17th. I was wrong. My belief is they died on the first day of Passover, and 3.5 days later at mid-tribulation on Nissan 14, they'll be resurrected again.
Thank
Amen?
You, Father.
So from the 10th to the 14th. Now, that's my thought.
But during that time, we should be in heaven,
we
right?
We should be in heaven,
we
right.
We can see this theater, what's going on here on the earth. I believe we probably may see that, you know, I don't know, but that's to be seen.
Well, they were so happy they killed the two witnesses. They exchanged gifts, shouting Mary and all merriment and all that, and then they look around and they watch, and then they watch these two witnesses to be resurrected in front of all the people just to leave. Wouldn't that be something to be there?
I'm just going to finish reading.
Go ahead, honey.
We have a few more minutes, and then perhaps Margie has something to share here with us. I'm just going to finish reading chapter 10. There's a lot that we didn't read.
Oh, yeah.
But you need to go back and read all the book of Esther if you can, and see if the Lord will show you. Ask him to give you a prophetic mind and eye to be able to see the things that have to do with the future.
Not one time is God's name mentioned, is he, through that book?
Not one time,
Not one time.
It says, and the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai. Mm-hmm. Whoa, gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
You know, our president, he's not perfect, but, you know, he's doing great things.
Yes.
Amen. Whereunto the king advanced him. Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Mordecai and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed. So, you know, God was honored. Oh, we're going to blow the shofar. Praise the Lord. This is a long show. Let's see it again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is that, you know, that shofar can be a sound of war.
Yeah.
It can be a sound to draw people together in the congregation.
Assembly, yeah.
An assembly. And it can be used for worship, you know, and for prayer. And for many things, it's not just a horn to blow, but and it's even the way it's shaped. The that shofar is called a...
It's a Yemenite one.
Yemenite
one. I want you to notice it's curved. It's telling us that God wants us to bend his way and not the world's way.
That's right. And so we need to continue to pray for our president. Pastor Jean, you might want to have a little altar call, but I'm going to have Margie share a couple things if she'd like here for a few minutes. And... I know she has something good to say. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. This was so good today. Just wonderful. And where the Lord kind of led me to was the team ministry.
Mm-hmm.
TEAM. And, you know, Mordecai and Esther, they had to work together.
And even the king.
When the king had to also work. Yes, that's right, Pastor Donnie. He had to cooperate too to fulfill what the Lord wanted to do.
And once the truth was revealed to them, then he had to do the same thing.
Amen.
That's right. He had to be part of the team.
So I have the first letter, T, which means together.
Mm-hmm.
Esther and Mordecai worked together. And of course, Pastor Donna said, also the king. Mordecai didn't control the situation, doing everything on his own plan, only his way, his thoughts, or being prideful. Actually, he was very humble. Both of them were very humble. Esther lived in submission, dependence, and obedience to her God-given authorities, who, I guess, she was under Mordecai.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
And her husband.
And when she got married, the king became right. The authority over her. Not her way, not her thoughts. She listened also to the Spirit of God within her, for she had the attributes of Yeshua. Jesus was totally dependent on his Father.
Mm-hmm.
In John 5, we could look at that. In John 5, 18 through 20. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Esther and Mordecai knew that God had a plan to save the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to be obedient. They wanted to be obedient. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works
yes.
than these, that ye may marvel. And in John 8:26, thank you, Lord. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him who is his Father. Amen. Jesus does what he sees his Father do.
Yes.
Complete obedience to his Father. He doesn't deviate to the left or to the right or used his own way. He only did what the Father asked him to do. What if Jesus had not been obedient to his Father? In Galatians 1, 1 through 5. If I have time.
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Four.
Sorry.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Sorry, Galatians 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father.
Amen.
Well, Rob, I'm running out of time here. Margie's got a lot more probably to share.
We can, it's okay.
We can do some of it next week.
Amen.
But I want you to remember, you know, this time called Purim is so important because it reveals to you and I the future when the abomination of desolation will be set up, and the date, even when the Jews sacrifices and everything, will be stopped. And so it's very prophetic to the future. But I'm thinking about right now, you know, some of us, you know, Esther's time was a time of restoration and deliverance. Passover was the same thing. You know, when we all got born again, we passed over from the worldly system into the kingdom of God. And so if there's somebody listening here today, and you've never asked Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah that came for everyone on this earth. He's not willing one would perish, but all would come to repentance. If you've never asked him to come into your life, today would be a wonderful day, because today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. You may not be alive tomorrow. You may not be here, but it's the most important decision you'll ever make. And we've all in this room, there's four of us in here right now, we've all had to make that decision somewhere along in our life and make a confession before that, before the Lord, that we wanted him in our life more than anything else. And the Bible tells us that what, one day in the future, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether in heaven, on earth, or beneath. That covers it all. Everyone has to account to what he came to this earth to do. We have to make a decision for him. We have a choice, don't we? Yes. Just like God gave Israel in Deuteronomy. I'm giving you life and death. Today you choose. I'm Don and I are speaking, and Margie, we're speaking to you right now. This is life and death for you.
Amen.
You may not be alive tomorrow, but where, if you would die tomorrow, where would you go? You made a choice. Are you going to go to heaven with the Lord, or you're going to go to hell with the enemy? The choice is in your hands. So we ask you to make that decision today. And if you have, call us. Call us on area code 772-285-7007 and tell us, and we can pray with you. And you can call the radio station at 221-1100. They'll pray with you, and you'll start all over. The Bible says you become a new creature. Everything's passed away, and you start brand new. Doesn't matter what you've done, no matter how bad it is, no matter what you've ever thought, you can start over, and you'll be white as snow in his eyes. Isn't that wonderful to realize that?
Yes.
That he wipes out the whole slate, and you start over again. Well, then you're accountable for everything that you do with him from that point on.
Yes.
Those are the things that we're accountable to. So do that, and we love you very much. Thank you for tuning in with us. Go ahead, Pastor.
I want to mention that we do have a Purim celebration this afternoon at 2 o'clock. If you'd like to come, you can call area code 772-285-7007, or just come on over. We're at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida at 445
Osceola Street
here in Stuart, Florida. So come and celebrate Purim with us and hear a little bit more about the teaching, and know that God is always in control.
All the time.
No matter what the enemy is trying to do, God is in control, and God is for you. So
Amen.
Come to the Lord and let him know that you love him and that you want to worship him, you want to serve him, and you want to become a child of God. Amen?
Amen.
So we're just blessed to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 o'clock until 1 o'clock. If you'd like to send an offering, we would certainly appreciate it to continue this radio broadcast. You can send it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. That's at 413-413. Get the right post office box in Stuart, Florida, 34995. Amen. So we want to say Shabbat Shalom.
And we tell you
peace
to,
and rest.
And we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
And Pastor Gene, blow the shofar. You have 8 seconds.
I do. I wish I could get my other one out of there.
Oh.
We got one in that storage.
Perfect.
Timing was perfect, huh?
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.